Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Leviticus chapter 9. I want to take us back to the end of Leviticus 8 to set the scene for what we're going to cover today. Recall that we were covering the consecration, the setting apart of Aaron and his sons and the Levites as priests to minister at the tabernacle. And this is how that chapter ended in verse 33. You shall not go outside the doorway of the tent of meeting for 7 days, until the day that the period of your ordination is fulfilled, for he will ordain you through 7 days. The Lord has commanded to do as has been done this day, to make atonement on your behalf at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Moreover, you shall remain day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord, so that you will not die, for so I have been commanded. Thus Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded through Moses. So for 7 days, they've been preparing for the ceremony of their ordination, and they had to do sacrifices during the week and anointing of their clothing and preparing to serve on God's behalf as priests. Remember, God is a holy God. His presence was going to be manifest in this tabernacle. They were being set apart to serve. And what we learned last week in Leviticus 8, and I encourage you, if you haven't, to listen to that podcast, because we talked about the special privilege that it is that now we are a kingdom of priests in the New Testament, because Jesus came forward and died as our Lamb and purified us, consecrated us, set us apart as holy, so that we could serve as his kingdom priests spiritually now, and that, you know, the sacrificial system now has been ended, but the whole church now serves God as his kingdom of priests. What a amazing thing that is. So now we think about this. They're waiting for 7 days for the fullness of this ceremony to take place, where Aaron and his sons would be consecrated and begin to serve as priests. Now, it came about in verse 1 on the 8th day, so after that 7 days of waiting, that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a calf, a bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defect, and offer them before the Lord. Then to the sons of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering, and an ox for a ram for a peace offering, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. And that's something that I really want us to see. For today the Lord will appear to you. There's going to be a manifestation of God's presence. He's going to make himself known again to Israel, and it's going to be after this ordination. Now, what is interesting is that Aaron is going to have to begin to make an offering for himself before the Lord, but to serve as this high priest, and then there's going to be sacrifices for the people. And in fact, basically all the offerings that we've been discussing for the first 8 chapters are all going to take place at this ceremony. There's going to be peace offering, grain offering, sin offering, wave offering, and it's all going to happen. And then God is going to make his presence known to all of Israel in a miraculous way. And there's something that I see in this I think is kind of interesting, is that, you know, at the beginning of this ceremony on the 8th day, Aaron first is going to have to make an offering for himself. And you know, to begin our ministry, Jesus offered himself. But even now, to serve God, we first have to be right with God, right? We have to be born again. We have to have the Holy Spirit working in us. We've got to even be inaugurated and understand that we first are God's ministers, his kingdom priest. We have to have the offering of Jesus for us personally. Once we have that, and then we're ushered into the priesthood to live for God. And isn't it sad that so many believers around the world today and Jesus don't even fully know this, you know, that they are a minister on God's behalf. You don't have to be paid to do it. You don't have to be on staff at a church to do it. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lamb of God, He has set you apart, consecrated you, made you holy, and said, now you're a fisher of men. Now you get to live for me. I've made you my priest, my kingdom priest, to spiritually live for me. But first, you got to have your own offering. And that offering is Jesus. Then you've been inaugurated into this priesthood to serve God. Hallelujah. And how we need more believers to know, that's really the power of the church today, is believers knowing their position in Christ, that we are now his ministers to serve his kingdom until he brings the fullness of it at his return. Hallelujah. So they took what Moses had commanded, on verse 5, to the front of the tent of meeting, and the whole congregation came near and stood before the Lord. So now everyone's going to be standing near. All this is going to take place in all the sight of Israel as they camp around this tabernacle. Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. See, this is what they had to do in order for the glory of the Lord to appear. And now the glory of the Lord has appeared in us. Hallelujah. He comes to live inside of us. It may not always be a physical manifestation like we're going to see today, but it is a spiritual. Moses then said to Aaron, come near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering so that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. See, first Aaron's got to get right. I've even read in a commentary this morning, and I think this is interesting, that some people think that Aaron had to make this special offering because of the golden calf incident, that, you know, he needed to have a fullness of offering to be forgiven of the sin that he participated in that golden calf incident in the past. Now, that's not really referenced specifically, but it is interesting. And isn't it interesting that God is still using Aaron? And praise God for that, right? I mean, think about that. You probably haven't made it a gold calf and worshiped it and then had the people, based on your sin, also worship it. Like, I mean, that was a really blatant, ugly sin that Aaron did. And guess what? He's still serving. Now, what does that say? And when you think about yourself, you know, some of you, when we're talking about being God's kingdom priest, you might think, you know what, I'm not worthy. Well, I tell you what, let's be holy. Let's live for God. Let's change, right? But also, it's not just ours changing and seeking holiness to live for God. It's also recognizing what Jesus Christ has done in his forgiveness that he's offered us. And what an amazing thing that Aaron, despite his really bad leadership and sin, that God is still going to use him as his high priest because of the grace and the atonement that's provided in this sacrifice that Aaron is making. What a great thing that God can use you. Despite your past, God still wants to use you. Hallelujah. Moses then said to Aaron, come near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then make the offering for the people. So you got to get yourself right first. Then you can serve God. That you may make atonement for them, just as the Lord has commanded. So Aaron came near to the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Aaron's sons presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put some on the horns of the altar and poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar, the fat and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver of the sin offering. Then he offered up in smoke on the altar, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin, however, he burned with fire outside the camp. Now we're going to be, you know, I'll be going through this briefly. We're already halfway through the chapter, but, you know, praise God that this system of sacrifice has now been fulfilled in Jesus. Hallelujah. And this is not how we please God now, is by bringing an animal, because Jesus was the once and for all final sacrifice. I hope you appreciate the new covenant that we live in today, that we have grace through Jesus rather than through this sacrificial system. But you know what? Jesus fulfilled it. Hallelujah. So verse 12, then he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aaron's son handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around the altar. They handed the burnt offering to him in pieces with the head, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. He also washed the entrails and the legs and offered them up in smoke with the burnt offering on the altar. I think the order here is significant. Listen to what says next. Then he presented the people's offering. and took the goat of the sin offering, which was for the people, and slaughtered it and offered it for sin like the first. He also presented the offering and offered it according to the ordinance. Next, he presented the grain offering and filled his hand with some of it and offered it up in smoke on the altar besides the burnt offering of the morning. Then he slaughtered the ox and the ram and the sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around the altar. See, there needed to be a blood sacrifice for forgiveness. That's why Jesus shed his blood for us. And that's why in the night of the Last Supper, he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, because it's going to be poured out for you. And without a blood sacrifice, there was not forgiveness, and now we've had it through Jesus. Verse 19, as for the portions of the fat from the ox and from the ram, the fat tail and the fat covering and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver, they shall now be placed the portions of the fat on the breasts, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh Aaron presented as a wave offering before the Lord, just as Moses had commanded. All right, you've waited for it. Here it comes. The glory of the Lord is about to come. Just three more verses. Then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. And he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. So they actually went into the, you know, the actual tent structure now. And imagine, like, waiting, like they can't see Moses and Aaron in this tent, right? And when they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. God's presence was now going to be made known and seen and felt and witnessed by all of Israel. Then fire came out before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. It's as though God brought down like an amazing fire that wasn't even produced by the priests. It all of a sudden, like the way that I view it, just enlarged on its own. And God revealed himself, and he burnt up this offering, and they knew it was miraculous, and they knew it was God. And, you know, this is why God is called a consuming fire. You know, there's something beautiful and powerful about a fire, and God has revealed himself through fire on many occasions throughout history, including the burning bush and the flame of fire over the heads of the believers on Pentecost, and other occasions as well, like I believe it was Elijah who brought about that sacrifice and showed that God had power and not the worshipers of Baal, when he kind of put that contest against the worshipers of Baal, and God came, and even though they doused the offering with water, you know, fire came out and was able to consume that offering. God did a miracle there. God reveals himself here through fire, and it was God's glory, and the people shouted and fell on their faces. You know what? In one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Do it now, so that when you die or when Jesus comes back again, you will be found in him. Hallelujah. Now is the time of salvation. Become a priest for God's kingdom. Not like you might think of in some kind of liturgical priesthood, but a regular, everyday follower of Jesus who's become born again, who now has the Holy Spirit living in them, who's been forgiven by Jesus Christ, and now God has raised up and said, you know what? You're mine. You're my treasured possession. Serve me. Live for my spiritual kingdom now. May that be true of you and me. Have you confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? And have you been washed through the waters of baptism, placed your faith in him? Do it now. Begin a new life of living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a privilege we have to serve as his kingdom priests. God bless you all.